This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let your light so shine before us, O Lord, that it may bring us to a deeper knowledge of you, our only God. Amen. You're welcome to stand throughout the sermon, but you're also welcome to sit. This morning, I bring you greetings, as I always do whenever I come to see you, from all of your fellow Episcopalians in over 100 congregations, schools, and special ministries, from Jensen Beach in the north to Key West in the south. We speak many languages, we come from many countries, and we embody many cultures. But we are united, as we said at the beginning of this liturgy together. We are united in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's a real joy for me to be back here with you at St. Joseph's. It's been 2 years, extraordinary, and I'm delighted to see so many people in church today. Thank you all for coming. Kate is sorry not to be with me, but she has a new job that occasionally demands of her weekend work, and this is one of those weekends. But she sends her greetings and prayers. And since this is my first visit in 2 years, I want to pay particular respect and honor today and acknowledge the leadership of your rector, your clergy, and your parish leadership for all the extraordinary work that they have done since the beginning of the pandemic. I know the work that your rector and so many of you have been doing because he has been a thoughtful participant in so many of our diocesan conversations all along. So thank you, Father Marty. Thank you. And thank you, of course, to Mary and to the vestry and to all those who exercise leadership here and who have worked so hard over these last almost 2 years now. This has been an exceptionally taxing time, and of course the pandemic is not over. We have a real concern about the present and the future, and we cannot yet see the final outcome of the situation that we're in. Across the nation and across our communities, COVID has taken a huge toll, not just physically and emotionally, it's taken a huge toll in so many of our important relationships. This has been an exacting and exhausting business. Today, however, we gather here in the hope and excitement of this confirmation liturgy, in which we shall confirm and receive several people. As they make their renewed commitment to Christ today, so we ourselves are renewed and strengthened in our own Christian lives, and we come face to face with the fact that we may be down, but we're not flat out. The Christian church is going to continue, and we are going to continue in faith and hope and love and in the witness of the gospel. And our candidates today are a sacramental sign to us of the ongoing life of the church. So I want to congratulate all of you who are candidates today and your families who are, and friends who are here to support you. This is a great day for you, but it is also a great day for this entire community. So I ask you, as I always do when I come, in the spirit of the opening words of our second reading today, I encourage you to pray regularly in thanksgiving for your clergy and parish leadership, and please know that I pray for you every day. Now, this morning, in our gospel reading, we hear a familiar story. We've all heard the story of John the Baptist preaching and baptizing at the Jordan River, and some of us have even seen various actors imitating him doing this in any number of films about Jesus that we may have seen over the years. And as we hear about John baptizing, this scene quite reasonably puts us in mind of our own baptisms, as does the rite of confirmation and reception that we are celebrating this morning. All of our candidates have already been baptized, as have all of the rest of us, and at this service, they are making a fresh commitment to all that was given to them at their baptism, to follow Jesus and to live the values of the gospel. So, let's ask ourselves this morning what our baptism means for us, because it's good to pause to reflect. We say that baptism makes us a member of the church, and that is true. There is no other qualification for ministry or participation. At our baptism, we are united with Christ and given the grace to be those who can make Christ known to others. And our participation, our membership of the church is complete in that action. But baptism is not just an admissions or name-giving ceremony. It is a profound, spiritual, but real meaning for each of us. For in baptism, we put on Christ's life as our own. As St. Paul says in the letter to the Galatians, as many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. It is for this reason that baptism can never be repeated. Once we have put on Christ in baptism in this way, it is an action for all eternity. It changes us forever. In baptism, we experience the whole of Christ's life in our bodies, and we come to share God's life ourselves. In baptism, Christ's solidarity with us is revealed, and our solidarity with Christ and with each other is affirmed. But let's look at the actions that happen in the baptismal rite, because they show us how at each point our life and Christ's life are imprinted on each other. There are promises and vows that are made. And when we make those promises and vows, which the candidates will reaffirm today, we turn away from the power of sin and evil forever, power which Christ himself defeated, and we unite ourselves to Christ in the promises of baptism, which the candidates will, as I say, repeat again in just a few minutes. So the first thing we do is that we take on Christ's complete commitment. Then, like Christ, we enter the waters of baptism. The one difference here between Jesus and us is that while we are washed from our sins by the waters of baptism, Christ, who was without sin, hallows the waters, sanctifies the waters by entering them. But yet we both enter the water, Christ before us, we following him. And so we are born again with Christ into the new life of God. This is our second birth, our participation in Christ's nativity. We die with Christ. The threefold pouring of the water on our heads signifies not just the threefold name of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the 3 days that Christ spent in the tomb. And so we participate in Christ's Good Friday. We rise with Christ as we walk away from the waters of baptism and are grafted into his body, which is the church. This is how we become members of the church, and this is our participation in Christ's resurrection. We are anointed and sealed with the Holy Spirit when the priest anoints our forehead with chrism. This is our participation in Pentecost. You'll remember the story of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit overshadows the entire community. So the Holy Spirit overshadows us at our baptisms, and we share in Pentecost. And lastly, because in the act of baptism we call upon the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are made forever a part of the life of God and are able to enter into God's kingdom, not in some distant and unknowable time. We can participate in the life of God's kingdom now because we live now and forever in the love of God, the Trinity, even during those times when we do not feel it or when we are not aware of it. So this morning, our candidates are placing themselves intentionally in the way of all of this again, in the way of God's grace, so that they may grow more deeply in the life of God, and so that they may display in their own lives all of these marks of Christ's life that were imprinted on them when they were baptized, and imprinted on you and me when we were baptized. We can cooperate with God now. We can live in God's grace and be ambassadors of Christ to those around us because of our baptism. We are given the strength for this life in God in the Eucharist that we are celebrating today. And this is our heavenly food for our heavenly life on earth. So when we think about all of this, we are reminded that our baptism is the most important moment of our lives. And today it's a reaffirmation. It's a reaffirmation for the candidates, but in a moment we will all reaffirm our baptismal covenant, and so it's a reaffirmation for all of us. So when I'm talking about baptism, I always like to ask one question. Do you know where and when and by whom you were baptized? How many of you know where? You may know where, you may know when, but do you know the name of the priest or the minister who baptized you? How many know all the answers to all three? Boy, do I have homework for the rest of you. But if this is the most important moment of our lives, we should know where, when, and by whom we were baptized, just as we know, those of us who are married, the date and the place of our marriage. At least, we try to remember every year the date of our marriage. Some of us are better at that than others. Just as we know the date and place of our marriage and the pastor or the priest who presided over our marriage, just as we know the date and the place of the birth of our children and the doctor who delivered them, and the details of other turning points in our lives, we should know the details of our baptism. So if you don't know, try and find out. Contact the church where you were baptized. Ask them to write you a letter telling you from their records the place, you know the place because you've written to the church or called the church, and if they have a record, the name of the person who baptized you. I still have my original baptismal certificate. How many of you still have your original baptismal certificates? I brought it to. This is a historic document. The Smithsonian Institute wants this. It's so old. If you don't have your original certificate, that's okay. The church where you were baptized can, as I say, write you a letter and give you the information. But I was baptized on the 28th of December, 1958, at St. Paul's Church, K Street in Washington, D.C., by the rector, Father Richards. May he rest in peace. This is important information for us, for every Christian. For our baptism was the new beginning of our whole lives, both now and forever. So please, if you don't know those details of your baptism, I hope you will find them out. Our service today, therefore, is not just for our candidates, though it is, in fact, mostly for them. It is for all of us. It is a reminder to us that our baptism has eternal consequences for each one of us. And it is our responsibility to take those consequences seriously so that we may live into our calling as the sons and daughters of God who can show Christ and Christ's love to the world. Amen.